which workers can sue for back pay in a big class action.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, a proud Marketplace sponsor for 8 years, committed to helping small businesses succeed with email marketing. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. And by Reputation.com, helping people and businesses protect their online image in search results, online reviews, and social media. Reputation.com.
From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. To what extent can low-wage workers come together to sue their companies? Lawyers for some of the largest meatpacking companies are at the U.S. Supreme Court today in a case involving six low-wage workers at an Iowa chicken processing plant who say they should have been paid for the time they have to spend getting into their protective gear. A lower court ruled that Tyson owed workers nearly $6 million in unpaid wages. It was a class action, and at the high court today, Tyson is arguing that people are part of that class who shouldn't be in there. Stuart Gerson is an attorney at Epstein Becker Green who's watching the case.
In a class, you have a whole bunch of individuals. And the issue here is, in the class that the plaintiffs have attempted to formulate, a number of people, many of the individuals who are alleged to be in the class, have suffered no injury at all. Either they didn't have these uniforms or gear to put on and take off, or they spent very little time at it, or they were in different kinds of jobs. And the question is whether they're able to recover as well. And it would not surprise me if a majority of the Supreme Court latches onto that particular issue.
There are three other cases before the High Court on who should get to join a class action. Let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 2-3% range. And now to research showing that your class, how poor or rich you are, predicts your likelihood of dying in a traffic accident. Who had access to the airbags first, or now the lane departure warning systems in cars? Who stuck riding a bike or walking in bad weather? Sam Harper is a professor of epidemiology, biostatistics, and occupational health at McGill University in Montreal. His new study in the American Journal of Epidemiology looked at traffic fatalities over a 15-year stretch. Professor Harper, thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Happy to be with you.
So among the things you looked at were traffic fatalities and education level. What did you find?
The United States has made great strides in reducing rates of traffic crash mortality over the past decades. What we were interested in looking at is how this broke down by education and really trying to answer the question of whether or not all education groups are sort of benefiting from these improvements over time. And so what we found was a pretty substantial gap between the lowest and the highest educated groups in the U.S. in terms of their traffic crash mortality. And I think more distressingly, we found that the extent of this gap has been increasing over the past 15 years or so.
What might account for that? Do you think it's driving behavior? Is it the type of roads that people who fit that demographic might drive?
As you might guess, there are a lot of potential causes, and we still don't have any definitive research to sort of say exactly why this is happening. But it is true, I think probably in the past decade or so, there have been some really important improvements in car safety, new features, electronic stabilization control, mandatory front, and now, you know, side and even rollover airbags. And to the extent that lower educated people have less access to these kinds of safety features, this could be a consequential in terms of their potential mortality in a car crash.
Now, what about the infrastructure of the roads? You go to some parts of the United States where incomes are high, one presumes education levels higher, and there's some pretty fancy traffic engineering and modern roads. One wonders about other parts of the country.
Clearly, that could be another contributing factor. I mean, we have a lot of economic segregation in the United States, and a lot of things travel together with income and education. And amenities, like you said, like improved roadways, you know, better safety features in terms of sort of the infrastructure, and lower educated people are actually less likely to own cars, and so they often use forms of travel like motorcycles and bicycles and walking that also tend to have increased risks of death conditional on getting into an accident.
Sam Harper is a professor of epidemiology and occupational health at McGill University in Montreal. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
Professor Harper is also calling for more research on the proximity of trauma centers, fancy hospitals, to areas with higher and lower levels of education.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by TIAA CREF, a global financial company dedicated to delivering financial outcomes that matter. TIAA CREF, created to serve, built to perform. Learn more at TIAA.org. And by the United States Postal Service, offering holiday forever stamps at local retailers. Supermarkets, drugstores, wholesale clubs, and office supply stores sell holiday forever stamps. And by Citrix GoToMeeting, the online meeting solution that hosts over 50 million meetings a year. Learn more at GoToMeeting.com.
Now to the so-called Internet of Things, when everything from your toaster to your car keys are connected to the Internet. Handy, sure, more efficient, possibly. But what about security? Academics and military officials are among those meeting today in Washington to discuss a study called Leveraging the Internet of Things for a More Efficient and Effective Military. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
When's the last time you wrote down directions to get somewhere? It's probably been a while. Your phone's GPS tells you where to go. Denise Jung wrote the report for the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
The sort of normal consumer person of today has a lot more capability on their smartphone than what the soldier has on his smartphone.
Jung admits it depends on where that soldier is. In some regions, the internet is hard to come by. And there's the worry that the soldier's data could get into the wrong hands. Kevin Ashton is a tech entrepreneur who coined the term Internet of Things.
Security is a real concern, but it's an excuse not to integrate systems. It's not a reason not to integrate systems.
Ashton says the Defense Department does drive innovation, but it can be resistant to change, and adopting new technology takes money. Sanjay Sarma is a professor of mechanical engineering at MIT.
It's always easier to sell a painkiller than a vitamin, and this is a vitamin. In other words, it pays off in 10 years.
In 10 years, if the Defense Department gets going now. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And apparently the clothing retailer H&M is joining what you might call the war on Black Friday. There's news that for the first time, H&M is keeping its stores closed on Thanksgiving Day. Friday it's open. The outdoor equipment co-op REI this year is even closed on the Friday amid its push for people to go enjoy the outdoors instead. From Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.